1 Samuel 3. Just to give you a little backstory, there was a woman named Hannah. Hannah was married, and her husband, she was not the only wife of her husband. The other wife was having children with no problem, but Hannah was not. They went to the temple, as they did each year, to the festival, to the celebration, to the feast, and she prayed. She was being belittled and bullied by this other wife. And she went to the temple or tabernacle, and she prayed. She prayed. The priest thought she was drunk, and he scolded her for being drunk, coming to the Lord's house drunk. And she said, "I'm not drunk. I've just got a burden." He said, "What's your burden?" She said, I want a son. I want a child." And the priest said, "You'll have it." Well, guess what? Next year, she came back. She had a baby. In fact, the next year she didn't come back because she said, "I got the baby. So I'll wait and I'll come back later." But she weaned that child. And as soon as he was able to be on his own two feet, she had prayed in her prayer to the Lord. She said, "Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you." And she did. And his name is Samuel. And so she gave Samuel to the Lord to serve God in the tabernacle. So he grew up in the tabernacle, around the priests, around the teachers, around the workers, everybody who had come to give an offering. You know, he was there. He saw God's people. He saw people who were seeking God, were searching for answers. He saw that all his life growing up. And it has to do something to you when you're surrounded by that. You know, you think about the preacher's kids, and I love my children. They're great, but they've seen it. They see it. They see what goes on in a church, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And unfortunately, they all exist. You know, and while we don't want the kids to be exposed to that, the truth is they see it. Now, but they've grown up in church. And they grew up understanding that there was no, it's not a one way at church and another way outside of church. They saw that you are what you are. Our faith is real. We have a true God. We have a real Savior. And we believe the Word of God from cover to cover. They've been able to see that. Think of Samuel growing up in the church, in the tabernacle, around all of the religious people, all of the religious workers, growing up around all of the people that come to pray and to worship and to make sacrifices. He saw all of that. Unfortunately, the examples that Samuel had were not good. You see, Eli the priest was getting up in age. It wasn't that he didn't care, but he just couldn't do what he used to do. He wasn't able to do everything and manage everything and keep a thumb on everything and discipline people the way he should. So things started to slip. His sons were taking advantage of people, stealing and skimming off the top, if you will, and even taking advantage of young women in the church. And I say church, you know what I'm talking about, tabernacle. So they were taking advantage. They were, everything you could think of that was bad, those boys were doing it. And Samuel saw that. And Eli, their father, saw that. But he wasn't willing to do anything about it. Though it was happening, he didn't do anything about it. And that brings us to chapter 3. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. What does that mean? Well, the truth is that we see God working and speaking to prophets and giving them visions. You know, we talk about Revelation. That was a vision. We talk about Ezekiel. That was a vision. Daniel, Joseph, Simon Peter, all these different things in their ministries, they had visions. You'd be sitting next to them and you would not have seen it because it was something God was giving to them. They experienced it, but it was a vision. But here, the Bible says there was no open vision. God was not speaking to prophets. They had the priest. They had the scriptures, of course, the law. They had, you know, the book of Judges, the record of Joshua. They had all that stuff. They had the priest. They had the offerings and sacrifices and the worship. I mean, here we are, we're in 1 Samuel. So they didn't have a whole Bible, but what they had, they had. The word of God was precious in those days. That's all they had to hang on to. They weren't having visions of God. There was no prophet saying, the Lord told me to tell you this. All they had was the word of God. Let me tell you something. We have the word of God. And it should be precious to us. It should be so precious to us. You say, well, I don't have visions and I don't have the Holy Spirit speaking to me like I hear other people say. Then the word of God is precious. We got to stay in the book. Understand something. God does not speak out loud. I never have heard God speak out loud. There have been a few times it was close. And I thought that could have been out loud. That was pretty close. I understood clearly what God was saying to me. But I've never had God speak out loud to me. I've never had a vision where Jesus came to me. Okay, or you know, he's never come to me in physical presence. So what do I rely on? Well, I rely on the Word of God and my prayer life, my communication with God, that the Holy Spirit, that unction the Bible talks about, that wooing of the Holy Spirit, the moving or the conviction of the Holy Spirit. In other words, I just know that's what God wants. Either because it's in his word or because he's moving me that way. But not because he comes down, you know, from the cloud and tells me. And it wasn't happening here either. The Lord wasn't speaking openly. Now, in verse number 3, it says, the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. That's never supposed to happen. That light is supposed to be a continuous light because it represents the light, the presence of God, the knowledge of God, the enlightenment of God. That light's never supposed to go out. Remember Hanukkah? You remember the miracle? They celebrate Hanukkah, the Jews do, because of that time when they were not able to get oil. They didn't have enough oil to keep the lamp burning. But what happened? The lamp burned anyway. It continued to burn. And they said that was the miracle that they didn't have the oil, but the lamp continued to burn. Why was that such a miracle? Why was that so important? Because the light's never supposed to go out. You see, when God talks about the church in Revelation, and he said that he'll remove the candlestick, what does that mean? It means if the light goes out, you can put whatever you want to on the church sign, call yourself Baptist or whatever you want to call yourself, but if the light's out, the presence of God is gone, and it's a powerless church. That's what it means. And here we are at the tabernacle in Israel, and the light went out. Why? Laziness, apathy, complacency. Well, let me ask you something this morning. Has your light gone out? Is the light of Capitol Heights Baptist Church burning because of the oil of the Spirit that you bring to it? Are we adding to it? Are we supplying that oil? Are we receiving that oil from God that's going to keep that light burning? Or is our light burning out? People talk about burnout. Is your light going out? You can look at it all different ways, but you're the only one who can answer that. The godliness, the spirituality was fading. Why? Because Eli the priest was letting things go. The Bible says that Samuel was laid down to sleep. Verse 4, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel answered, here am I. But he heard this voice call Samuel, and he said, here am I. And all that he could think of is it must be Eli calling from the other room. So he jumped up out of his bed, and he went into Eli's room, and he said, here am I, sir. Verse 5, thou callest me. And Eli said, I called not. Now, I say it in that voice because that's the voice I use when someone wakes me up. Lie down again. Can you imagine? There's Eli. He's old and he's tired and he won't sleep. I don't wake people up when they're sleeping. I could drive 900 miles. You're in the hospital. I get there and you're asleep. I'll leave a card. Because I don't wake people up when they're sleeping. You need sleep. It's good for you. And people will get mad at me and say, well, you should have woken me up. I don't. Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And so Samuel went back. He laid down. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Oh, what a powerful statement. What a powerful statement. He did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him. Can we go back and talk about what we just talked about? Samuel grew up in the tabernacle. Samuel grew up around the priests, the teachers, the offerings, the worship. He grew up there. And yet the Bible says he didn't know God. That's tragic. I can't imagine. I really can't. I know that not everybody hears what I'm saying the way that it's intended and the way that God would have it delivered. And I know I'm not as eloquent as maybe you would like sometimes. But let me tell you something. It will just shatter me to find out that anybody sat through one service of preaching in this room, in this building, and walked out and didn't go to heaven. It's awful to think that people will come in here and hear the Word of God preached and just brush it aside and it's not important. Or worse yet, that you come to church here and you sit down and you don't hear the gospel. Because that's the reason we're here. People need Jesus. It says Samuel didn't know the Lord. Now I know we're going way back in the Old Testament. But let me tell you something. You can know the Lord right now. You can know the Lord because you could pray from your heart to God's heart and say, God, I'm a sinner. And if you need help, I'll explain to you what that means. It means you're not perfect. You've made mistakes. You can say, God, I trust Jesus as my Savior. I know He died for me, and I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. You know what God will do? He'll answer your prayer. He'll forgive your sins, and He'll save your soul. And He'll wash your sins away. He'll write your name in the book of life, and you'll have eternity secured. In that day, Samuel did not know the Lord. How is that possible? Samuel had to have heard about Adam and Eve. And as I recall, in the cool of the day, the Lord would come to the garden to walk with them and visit with them. Isn't that what it says in your Bible? In my Bible, it says that God even visited Cain. In my Bible, it tells about Abraham. How that he met with Abraham and walked with Abraham, and he was the friend of God. And I mean, that's all prior to this. So had he not heard about Adam and Eve and Abraham? Had he not heard about those people? Had to have. What about Jacob? Wrestled with God. Moses, man. Moses met with God on top of the mountain. God spoke to him. Now that's different than the way we experience it because he actually stood there and talked to him. And Joshua and Gideon. Is there any chance that you would grow up in a church in this surrounding and not know about God talking to those people and meeting with those people and calling those people and having ministry on their lives? And yet Samuel grew up in that environment and the Bible says he didn't know God. It may be that you've made it this far without knowing God, but I'm begging you today, settle up. It may be that you've gone all this time and not asked God's forgiveness and trusted Him as your Savior. It's time. Don't wait another minute. It's time. Well, here was the Lord calling to Samuel. Samuel didn't know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Verse 8, the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And what did he do? He got up and ran to Eli again. And here's the thing. Sometimes when God calls us, we look to do the wrong thing for the wrong people. We understand there's a call. We understand there is a call to action, but we go the wrong direction. We need to make sure we have the call right. Understand what the mission is. And so the Bible says the Lord came the third time. And he said, can you imagine Samuel's tone at this point? Here I am, for thou didst call me. I know you called me. I heard you called me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Finally, Eli wakes up to the reality. Verse 9, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and laid down in his place. Verse number 10, y'all read that. And the Lord came and stood. You see that? That's Jesus. And the Lord came and stood and called him as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Well, I mean, Samuel didn't know. Guys, don't be ashamed. We're learning as we go. It's on the job training, if you will. We're learning as we go. We're going to discover new things about God and about life. Now, don't ever believe something if it contradicts what God's Word says, because the Word of the Lord is precious. But when you discover something new, don't be ashamed. Don't hide it. Let God reveal it to you. Look, the fourth time. It took four times. How many times has God reached out to you for you to be saved and you rejected it? How many times has God moved on your heart for you to do something and you rejected it? Took him four times to get Samuel. But he finally got him. He says in verse number 11, "The Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." Both ears. I mean, tingling both. I mean, this is some kind of message. This is some kind of event. This is some kind of promise. God says, "I'm about to do something, and it's going to stand everybody on their toes. Everybody's ears are going to tingle." Now, unfortunately, what we learn as we read the next few verses is that Eli is being replaced. God's done. He's been patient. And in fact, look at what he says in verse 14. "That the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." God says, "I've been forgiven this every year. Forgiven it. He said, "I'm done." If you've got some sin in your life, I mean a sin, that God has spoken against and told you not to have it in your life, and you continue to do it, and you say, "Well, but I'm saved. My sins are washed away." Understand something. God said, we're not going to do this every year. We're not going to just keep doing this. It's time to get right. It's time to repent. It's time to straighten up where God can use you. Because there comes a point. What's the difference? The difference is God can either use Eli or move Eli out of the way. That's the difference. And we got to make a decision. Do we want God to use us, or do we want God to move us out of the way? I want to be used by God, don't you? I want God to do something in my life. I want to make a difference. I want to be able to stand before Him one day and hear those words, "Well done." Because that's going to be the moment. You talk about ears tingling. That's the one I want to hear. But he said, "I want to do something, Samuel. I'm going to do a thing." And verse number 19 says, "Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground." What does that mean? It means when Samuel prayed, God said, "You got it." He prayed, and God said, "Done." That's incredible. Now, some of you know the rest of the story. You know we finally got to the end of his life, and it didn't go that way. But for this period, they knew if they asked Samuel to pray about it, and Samuel prayed about it, it was a done deal. Anybody ever ask you to pray for something and you say, "Well, I can't really pray for that"? I mean, people got burdens, and sometimes they make sense, and sometimes they're biblical, and sometimes they don't make sense and they're not biblical. We just got to know how to pray. And I'll tell you something. Sometimes when I'm praying, I say, "Lord, I mean, I know what they want. I don't know what you want. So I'm just trusting you to do your thing." Now, we can ask whatever we will, the Bible says. Ask whatever you want. But I always like to know, to be in line with what God wants before I even ask for it. Samuel didn't know God. But he reached a point in his life where God called out to him, and you know what he said? I'm listening. I'm listening. It's so important for us to make a decision today to listen to God. You say, well, I've never heard God's voice. Verse 1 says, there was no open vision and the word of the Lord was precious. That means stick to what the word of God says. Just read the word. If nobody ever talks to you, if you never hear this voice from heaven, this internal voice, spiritual voice, Holy Spirit, if you never hear that voice, you know what God's called you to do because the Bible says so. And I think a lot of times, I had somebody come to me this week and say, well, Pastor, I hear you talk about the Lord speaking to you, and I've never heard that voice. Sometimes I think we don't understand what it means. I think we do hear the voice, but we just don't relate it to God speaking to us. It's just knowledge. It's revelation. It's understanding. It's enlightenment. It's not necessarily, and I've prayed sometimes. I remember praying for something. The Lord said, go. I said, thank you. And I can remember praying about something else, and it was just clear to me what the answer was. It was clear. I mean, clear. Like God telling Noah how to build the ark. I mean, it was that clear. But it wasn't out loud. So maybe you do have the Lord speaking to you and you just aren't relating that that's what it is. We need to be in prayer. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be listening to God. And we need to say to God, here I am. I'm listening. And it's my prayer that if you don't know the Lord today, that you will put your faith in Him right now. So we have an invitational song.